Well, it's so good to see of you. Let's go to God in prayer. Father God, we just stand in awe of you. We have limited understanding when it talks about you and Father God and Jesus and the Holy Spirit are one, and yet you're three. We just don't have the capacity to filter all of that. But we know we don't have to, but we are made in your image, which you are one God, just as we are one people. And we that have been blessed with the opportunity to know Jesus by the power of the Holy Spirit and come to faith, we also are one in spirit with you, and we are your children, which is really just a little bit above what I can comprehend. But as we look at the psalm today, bless us as you have blessed the writers, as the Holy Spirit has brought these to us, and as he will teach us this morning. And bless each woman here that she may receive a special blessing from you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Okay, open to the psalm, and we're starting with Psalm 102. And then 102:25. In the beginning, it's talking to God or about God. You laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the work of your hands. They will perish, but you remain, and all wear out like a garment. Like clothing, you will change them, and they will be discarded, and you remain the same. For your years will never end, and the children of your servants will live in your presence, and their descendants will be established before you. There's a lot of good promises in this. But also, it's telling about that in the beginning was God, and in the end, when all of this is done away with, God will still be there. He is eternal. He is, he was, he is, and he is to come. It's just a tremendous promise to us. Not only, it's such an assurance. God is God forever. But he has opened up communication with us when he created the world, starting with the word, and we've been through all of that. But the promise, not only that he will remain, it says the children of your servants will live in your presence, and their descendants will be established beyond you. So are before you. So that is such a sweet, sweet confirmation. Anybody want to add anything to that?
I just think this hymn is pretty much your whole sermon right here.
Yes.
I stand, and what is this? When I in awesome wonder.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it is.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And the more you get to know God, the more of awe you are. You know, people that just carelessly take his name in vain do not know God. And they are not blessed to know God. So, now then, we're going to move on to Psalm 103. And I'm going to read a paragraph and then give you an opportunity to say something if you want to. And I have asked you to do this ahead of time, so if something really touches your heart and you want to share that, let us know. And I love it because every one of these start with praise the Lord, O my soul. And all my inmost being praise his holy name. That covers a lot of stuff. And so, then praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. He forgives all your sins, heals all your diseases. He redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion. Who satisfies your desires with good things so that your youth is renewed like eagles. I hold on to that last sentence real well. It says he heals all our diseases, and you say, well, I didn't get healed. He's not through with you yet. If you're not healed in this lifetime, when he comes to get you, you will be completely free. You'll be completely whole. You'll be completely free of all diseases. And so, as long as we're in this world, we are still in compromise here. But he has told us here he will take care of it in his time. Yes, Shannon?
On this right here, because this is a Psalm of David, this was to me like a prophetic statement that when Jesus comes, he would heal everything.
Yes.
Because in our lifetime, mm-hmm. we're going to suffer, mm-hmm. you know. But back then, when he came, everybody was healed. So
that is prophecy also. Yeah. And you know, that was one of the ways when John the Baptist, just before he got his head cut off, He said, I have everything I thought that you were. Is it really true? Are you the Messiah? And he said, you go back and tell John that the dead has been raised and the people have been healed. And that was the fulfillment of the prophecy way back here.
Yeah.
And that was why all the miracles that he performed had one purpose, to give him the authority that he is who he says he is, and he is from God.
Yeah.
Thank you, Shannon. Mm-hmm. Anyone else? Okay.
I love that. May I never forget what he has done for me. Even in the bad times, may I never forget the good he has done for me.
I really like the, oh my soul, the self-talk. It's praise the Lord, oh my soul. It's going deep within. I've read this many times, but it didn't click until the last few years. He's talking to himself, mm-hmm. and going to the innermost deep parts of himself. And I really think we have to do that. And I think there's other verses throughout the psalm that say, why are you so depressed, oh my soul? And trying to pull out that depth of pain and saying, look up.
Thank you. Those are good thoughts. Someone else?
My mother had pancreatic cancer, and I was on my way to do something, September 24th, 2011, and I knew she was really bad off. She was to the point where morphine didn't help, and I thought, she's very close. And I prayed to God, please, please take her pain away. And when I got home from where I was, my husband came up and told me that she had passed, and I thought, God answered my prayer, because to me, she was healed.
Yeah. Yes. Yes. Agreed.
Yes. Did y'all all hear that?
Yes.
Okay, thank you, Donna. And God, and all the time, you know, we've been kind of through a real season of a lot of stuff, and every time we hear something else, I just say, thank God for God. Thank God for Jesus. Thank God for the hope that we have, and that this life is not all there is to it. It's just a springboard to spend eternity with Him. Okay.
Sometimes when I pray for somebody to get well or be healed, I ask the Lord to heal them this side of heaven, because I know they're going to be healed when they pass. But to be healed this time.
There are so many times, I think that, you know, the Holy Spirit says that when we do not know what to pray for, that His, even our groanings are picked up by the Holy Spirit, and then they are laid in Jesus' hands, and then Jesus and the Holy Spirit take it to the Father. And we have the whole counsel of God working on what we ask. And so that is such an assurance. And as Karen says, it has to come deep within our souls, deep within our hearts, and that the groanings and the things. And there are a time, I don't care who you are and where you are, you do not know what to pray. And you just say, Jesus, I am laying this person in your hands. You know what's best, and whatever you know what's best and your will, do block anything that is not for their good, which I think is for their good, and open doors for anything that is. But basically, the only thing that we have to do, but it is such a comfort that we can lay those we love in God's hands, and that He will do the more than what we even ask or imagine, because we don't have it. Okay, then. So then we have here, this word here, that the youth is renewed like eagles, that's picked up again in Isaiah 40. It says that you will run and will not grow weary. You will walk and not faint. And so our strength comes from Him. Our strength comes from the joy of the Lord. Our strength comes spiritually, if not physically. But whatever we need, He will renew it. And that is one of the benefits of living, to be an older person. You see so many times that you just thought you'd been wiped out. And Satan thought he had won, and he hadn't. So it's always, God is always there. So we'll read the next little section here. The Lord works righteousness and justice for the oppressed. That's a great promise. He made known the ways to Moses, his deeds to the people of Israel. And the Lord is compassionate and gracious and slow to anger and abounding in love. He will not always accuse, nor will he harbor any anger forever. He does not treat us as our sins deserve or repay us according to our iniquities. That's some big stuff in that one. It's really important that he starts in here, the Lord works righteousness. If you want to pray something, pray that you become righteous. That is God's desire for you. Righteous is your right with God. And where it says, blessed are you that do these things, that's all in old Hebrew. That is saying that you are coming into fellowship with God. It's not that things are going to be all right, but is the blessed is any time that God draws you near. And God, and he said, I'm telling you this just like you tell a child. Don't do that. If you put your hand on the stove, it will get burned. And here we go, well, you're right. Well, you know, it's real hard for us to get past too. But every time that he gives us a command or a promise, it is there. It is secure. It will not go away. You can believe it or you cannot believe it, but God has said it, and it is. And so then these are things that he is wanting by the Holy Spirit to create within us so that we become more and more like Jesus, so the world can see more and more of Jesus. And so it won't look like you think it's, you know, how many times have you instructed Jesus and God on what you think they need to do? It says he thinks, well, bless her heart, she's gone off on tangent again. Anyway, because he knows what's right. He knows what's best. And it may not look best now, but when he talks to us in eternity, we'll think, thank God one more. And there's so many prayers I've prayed that he didn't answer, and I say, praise God. Also, it's so important that we go back and read and understand the Old Testament. Because when you have a sentence like this one here, he made known his ways and Moses and his deeds to the people of Israel, you don't know what he's talking about. And every one of those is for our benefit. And those are to tell us how he has worked through people and he can work through you. I just love this. He's compassionate and gracious. And thank God he's slow to anger. Thank God he abounds in love. He is love. And he will not always accuse, nor will harbor his anger forever, thank God. And a love 10, he does not treat us as our sins deserve, or repay us according to our iniquities. So, did you want to say something?
Yes, ma'am, I did.
I thought you did.
I just love the Old Testament, the Torah, mm-hmm. because it gives us a foundation of where our belief in Jesus comes from, because he was and he is and he is to come. It's a good reminder that before he came, we had this foundation, we had these teachings. And also, it reminds us also in this passage, he does not deal with us according to our sins, nor repay us according to our iniquities. I love that, but I am reminded that our actions do have consequences. And he, like you said, we don't want to get burned because, you know, it burns, but we still do it. He reminds us in gentle ways, not in harmful ways, not in angry ways, that our actions will have consequences. You just have to be mindful, and our goal is to be righteous.
Thank you very much. Amen and amen.
Amen.
Okay, then let's go on down to 11. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. Those are two biggies. Yeah, and it's so true. You know, when we get into even our complete, and we are going into studying Genesis 1. Mm-hmm. beginning the next month. You thought I was teasing, didn't you? We have been discussing Genesis 1 because we've been discussing who God is for a month. But if you don't know who God is, you might as well shut your book up, because if you get this one, in the beginning God, and if you believe that, well, you're well on the way to get it all figured out. So as high as the heavens are above the earth, and you know, we look up and we look at the sky and we think it has a limit. But after we have seen so much stuff with them shooting these rockets and stuff up there, you know, there is no limit. It just goes on and on and on. It helps me to enlarge my spiritual vision, because I was raised in a cotton patch that didn't have a TV set, and I needed a lot of enlargement. So it's amazing what all we can learn. And so as far as the east is from the west, he has removed our transgressions. He has removed. They're gone. Talking to Donna, when you sow against somebody, they can set the machine over here and you set the machine over here. It's amazing what all you learn. She says, you know, people say I'm a sinner. She said, no, you're not. You are a redeemed child of God, forgiven of sins. We sin, but we are no longer sinners. That's not our aim in life. Our aim in life is to please God. And so that let me see an opening in her depth of understanding of these kind of scriptures right here. She is someone that has meditated on this and does not feel, you know, in Romans 8, and I think it's 8:1 said, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, because their sins have been removed as far as the east is from the west. You tie those two together, there's quite a bit of insurance in that. Somebody want to say something? Yeah.
I think everybody might know this, but I'm going to say it because it was like, well, east, but in the west. Mm-hmm. If you keep going east, the next thing you know, you're in the west. Mm-hmm. So it's a continual. It's a continual circle.
It's not, there's no end to it.
Yeah, there's no end. Mm-hmm. And it's like the wedding band, you know, mm-hmm. and all that. So anyway, I had a ding.
That's the Holy Spirit. He's done touched your heart. And so praise God for that. I won't have a walk today. I'll have it all in.
I just have a question. In my Bible where it says, those who fear the Lord. If I was an unbeliever, how would I explain that fear of the Lord?
The fear of the Lord is not I'm afraid of him. It is to recognize who he is.
To recognize
him? Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's reverence. And you come into his presence. You go back, well, just a minute, I'll let you talk. You go back, and when any time came close to God, they all fell on their face like they were dead people. That's scared to death. You have got to realize God, I think it goes back to that he is as far above us as the heavens is. And if you don't realize the power that he has and who he is and fear that, then you have not begun to know God.
Thank you.
I was taught that recently they doing the translation that actually the word is more respect than fear. And then it got lost in the translation because, you know, but it's, if you put in where every time you see the word fear, because I always had a problem with that. So when this person said, no, it's respect, I said, oh, that makes so much more sense.
I have, there is a new sermon I just picked up this week. I picked it up earlier, and it is Fearing God, and it's one of the neatest sermons I've heard. It said, what we fear shows what we love. If we are afraid of losing our children, it's because of our love for them. If we are afraid of losing our prestige of a job more than we fear God, we love our job more than we fear God. Mm-hmm. Anyway, he goes through all of these things, which really challenges you. And I'm going to send that to you because it's a sermon that I would have never thought of. And he said, the only fear that will take away all fears is fear of God.
Amen.
All of these other fears, and you know, he said, you go through the whole Bible, God keeps saying, fear not, fear not, fear not. In other words, and then you say, well, fear. But fear is all. Fear is recognizing who we're dealing with.
Yes. Yes. All through the scripture, every time that, like an angel spoke to someone, the shepherds, Mary, the first thing the angel would say is, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. You recognize the awesomeness of this being that has come to give you a word from God. And so it's a fear, but it is just an overwhelming, I mean, you accept it, you believe it, you glorify Him, glorify it because it is from God. But it is a fear. You're afraid because of His power. So, but it's an awesome fear.
We can't explain everything, can we? To me, it's not being scared. It is, like I said, it's recognizing you have come into the presence of the Creator. You have come into the presence of the Almighty God. If you had, I know that Eileen, coming from England, if Queen Elizabeth did invite her to a party one day, but the only thing she could do was come from afar. But if she had been pulled right up into the very presence of the Queen, and she would have immediately hit her knees, you know, and there would have been an awe. And I think that, there was another, you know, I hear sermons all the time, another sermon that I think sometimes we in America was so against being under a king, and don't tell me what to do, and it's so ingrained in our thinking that we might have been better off if we'd been raised in England. Because when it says that God is, that Jesus is our King of Kings and Lord of Lords, we'd have a little bit more understanding of the scripture. Somebody else had their hand up. Yes?
I was just going to tell you the definition in my Bible says that fear is dread, terror, and awe. So there's going to be different times when we fear things. But because Jesus said, or God in the mountain, people weren't supposed to touch it. They feared it.
Yeah.
But now in our time, you know, we recognize and we just have that reverence for Him and the power and just who He is. But,
that's the value of the Old Testament.
Jean?
Yes.
I think that it's such a word that is so depleted these days.
It's weak in our vocabulary. There's so many, just like love, just like all of the words that God uses, which are big words. And for us to know the words in their values, and you find that from the Holy Spirit.
They don't want to think that they have to fear anything.
Well, no, we don't. Because if they do, they're going to have to do something about it.
Right.
I had this understanding a few weeks ago, and it was this, that... Okay, it says, for as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is His mercy towards those who fear Him. I think all creation, human beings, have a touch of God because He created them. His spirit was breathed into us, and then we were alive. And yes, and we know that as Christians. But even those who don't know Christians, I think that's in them, even if they don't acknowledge it. And so His mercy is not only something that, even if an unbeliever doesn't recognize it, He still has mercy on those people because they're His creation, right? So I think He's merciful to those people that they're in the midst of some horrific thing, and they say, oh my God.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's fear. But they're still acknowledging God.
I like all of those. And this is why I like to hear from us. And I think it's important that we do this. But also when we were studying the Holy Spirit, what was the Holy Spirit sent to do? To teach us there was judgment to come. To teach us that there is sin. We do not get this as human beings on our own. That is the power of the Holy Spirit touching our hearts and realizing who God is, who Jesus is. And praise God that the Holy Spirit has taught us those things, and for us to come into the likeness of Jesus and our reverence for Him. And yes, we fear judgment, but we do not fear it because the average lost person does. But coming into the presence still of the Holy God is a thing of fear. Mm-hmm. Or you don't know who you're talking about. Yeah. It's just a reverence. Yes, Lisa?
There's a verse in Psalm 25:24 that I really like. And it says, the Lord is a friend to those who fear Him. Mm-hmm. He teaches them His covenant. I think there's a, I don't know how to distinguish this, but the Lord loves everyone and He appreciates the love toward Him. But there's a special, special love that is given to those who fear Him.
We are His children. It's the same thing that you would have with your daddy. Mm-hmm. You know there's a line that if you crossed, most of us, and that it was not going to be pleasant if Daddy learned about it. And it was because Daddy loved us and we loved Him and we didn't want Him getting us straightened out. Anytime that you have a final authority, and that final authority also happens to be one of the most loved persons by yourself, if you're going to have a certain amount of fear. And I think that, you know, the first thing that that Jesus and the Holy Spirit and all God did was create a family. Everything He has created is to teach us about Him. If you did not have the family to begin with, there is a father, there is a son, there is a wife. All of those had one purpose, to teach us God our Father. When Jesus says, you are my bride. Also, when we have our children and we love our children beyond all other things, and you better not put a hand on my child, He giving you some idea in a living experience who He is. We'll get that next week. Week after next.
Lisa, what was that reference? I was reading that in the New Living Translation, so it might say it differently than yours, but it's Psalm 25:24.
Okay, it's 25:24. If you want to write that down and go back and look at it differently. Mm-hmm. So we go back now and continue on in Psalms 13. As a father,
103:13.
Mm-hmm. We're still in 103. We've gotten down through 12 verses. We may get through 13. 13, as a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear Him. That seems to sum up what we just said. Uh-huh. It's amazing what the Holy Spirit can do.
Yeah.
For He knows how we are. I love this. He knows how we are formed. He remembers that we are dust. And as for man, his days are like grass. He flourishes like a flower of the field, and the wind blows over it, and it is gone, and it placed remembrance anymore. In other words, you're just dirt. You're not going to be here long. And you know, it's amazing. The older you get, the faster time flies. And you look back and you think, good grief, I'm going to live nearly 90 years. And it's going to run, whoosh. And another thing in the Psalms, it's like the shuttle on a weaver. You know, there it goes, there it goes, there it goes, there it goes, there it goes. In other words, this is telling us that our only hope and our only eternal existence is in this God that we need to respect and fear. It's all going back. But notice, he's going back to refer to the situation of a family. He said, this is why I gave you a family. because it says that as a father loves his children, so the Lord loves us. Mm-hmm. And so, and then the wind blows over it and it is gone and the place that remembers it no more. And so eventually even all the tombstones will be gone. And the generation that knew that generation will be gone. And so we are here such a limited time that we need to recognize our Father God is over us and taking care of us, or we would all be a little bit futile. So let's go down to 17. But from everlasting to everlasting, the Lord's love is with those who fear him, and his righteousness with their children's children. That is an awesome promise. If that doesn't comfort you, go back and read it again. Write it out and stick it on the mirror. He will always love you. And not only will he love you, he will love your children from one generation to another. Our family is real strong on heritage. I've got most of our families back to 1200, and it's an assurance of the godly people that have been in our foundational people, and that we had had a past all the way back, and what it took to just get us here, and what all they went through. And so then you look forward and you pray that your faith, your prayers, your life will go on, and it will, he's promised, on in the generations to come because of the power that he gives us as his children by the Holy Spirit. So then we go on here. We get into the covenant. 17, from everlasting to everlasting, the Lord's love is with those who fear him, his righteousness with their children's children, with those who keep his covenant and remember to obey his precepts. We have the responsibility to obey. And he has formed a covenant with his story. There's been covenants all the way through the Old Testament that he had a covenant with Adam and Eve. He had a covenant with Moses. He had a covenant with Noah. He had a covenant with Israel. He has a covenant with us. And so for him to make a binding covenant with us is the only way that we have contact with him. We did not have the opportunity or the power to do that. This shows us how much he loves us. Not only that, I've got a binding covenant with you that will not be broken, that I will love you. I will love your children for the next eternity. All right, let's look at 19. The Lord has established his throne in heaven, and his kingdom rules over all. Jesus, King of Kings, is sitting by Father God now, and he is the King of all things in heaven, of all things on earth. And if you don't believe that, read Matthew, the last chapter. He has been elevated as King of Kings, Lord of Lords, and he is reigning now. We are a part of that eternal kingdom that he kept talking about, when my kingdom comes. That's why we continue to pray, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, because we want all people to come into his kingdom now, so they will be a part of his kingdom forever. So we'll go down, we're going to finish up this chapter. Praise the Lord. Starts with the angels, you mighty ones, who do his bidding, who obeys his word. Praise the Lord, all the heavenly host. All of the heavenly host is joining us in praise. Anytime that you are praising God, you are moved into the multitude of heavenly beings. And we have a great, you know, in Hebrews, I think it is the 11th or 12th chapter, it said of the bystanders looking praising for you to come on with them. It's like we're running a race, and every believer from all eternity back, eternity over, up in heaven, all the way around, are saying, come on, you can do it. If you keep your eyes on Jesus, the author and the finisher of your faith. He starts your faith, he finishes your faith. You've got it made because of him running before you. And so then he said, praise the Lord, all you angels, you mighty ones, who do his bidding and who obey his word. Praise the Lord, all you heavenly hosts, you servants who does his will. Praise the Lord, all who works everything in his dominion. Praise the Lord, oh my soul. Yeah. Okay, I've got this. Okay.
I can talk while it's brief. Okay. Out of Charles Spurgeon's morning and evening devotional, he felt that this song was a Bible in itself, and it might suffice as the church's hymn book.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's amazing.
He always said it so well.
Yes.
Yeah. Hey, we got through a whole chapter.
Yes.
I like how, praise the Lord, you angels, you mighty ones who carry out his plans, listening for each of his commands. They're constantly attentive.
Mm-hmm.
They're just attentive.
Also, if you go back and read some more scripture, why they were created is to take care of us. They are the people, they are the angels that God, the messengers that takes care of us.
Servants for us.
Yeah, and he says, go take care of that. Go take, and here they go. Yes.
Can I say something else?
I just want to give a little testimony. You know, this church is real accepting of that, right?
Yes.
Well, God had shown me when I was 4 years old, I developed asthma. So I went to this doctor, and he shot me with something, shot me with too much. Mm-hmm. And I had an overdose, and I almost died. And I fell to the floor, and he stepped over me. And learned later he was an alcoholic. I mean, I could have died, and that's what God showed me is I had these two angels of mercy, and they waited there until he woke up. So imagine living with feeling worthless that somebody just, you know, almost killed you, and then God wanted me to know, oh no, they were grieving, and they were going to wait there until you came.
Praise God.
Yes.
I think that we are then read 104. I know that it really touched me. Go home and read that and meditate on it. And then read Job 32-40. That is one of the funniest, loveliest sermons in the whole Bible. And he keeps telling Job, and where were you when I did so-and-so? You know, Job has all the answers. And at the end, after God's talked to him all this time, it says Job puts his hand over his mouth. If you think you've got God all figured out, you're going to be like Job, and where were you?
Psalms 104, I thought it was great that we did How Great Thou Art, because that's in the first verse of 104, and it says, oh Lord, my God, how great you are.
Holy Spirit's working.
Father God, as we gather here today to hear your word, thank you so much for loving us. Thank you so much for giving us your word, for the Holy Spirit that leads Miss Jane for this class, for Miss Kate that leads us in your worship. Father God, we just love you so much. You know each heart in this class. You know that every single lady in this room and the ones that cannot attend have needs. You know their hearts and what they need from you, Father God. We just love you and thank you so much for giving us so, so much, for allowing us to come to you, for allowing us to pray for you. Even when our words cannot be said, you know our hearts, Father God. We just want to love you and cherish you and thank you for your awesomeness, for being the God that you are, for loving us in spite of us. Allow us to go to in this world today and be a light for all to see you, for your light to shine through us, for others to just want to know you more, Father God. We just love you and thank you so much for this class, for these ladies, for Miss Jean, for everything that you give us daily, Father God. And we just praise your name and we thank you. In your son's name's name, amen.
Amen.